Okay, so this is the companion talk to tourists, and probably it should have come first, but because it gives more of an overview of the situation in Washington as regards aerial fights. So again, backtracking with a little bit of history. We first found great leaf rust mite in Washington in 2002. I think it was probably there all the time, but as will become apparent, there was a lot of spraying going on in viticulture prior to about 2000, and I think its presence was masked by the fact that it was obliterated by most of the sprays that were put on. But now we're moving into a much more low input system. We're getting other things appearing, and great leaf rust mite is one of those. In 2004, it was recorded causing bronzing of leaves, which is the major damage symptom that great leaf rust mites cause in the summer. It's not an economic problem, having these bronze leaves, but it's a sign that you've got significant populations. And so that occurred in 2004. But then in 2006, we had a major outbreak, as Tora mentioned, in Walla Walla, that restricted spring growth, as she showed in her pictures there, and caused great economic damage. I mean, some growers lost the entire crop, and others lost 80% of it. It was a real wake-up call, and everyone was very alarmed and running around with their heads chopped off and wanted something done. Well, then 2007 and 2008, and I'm glad to say that, pleased to say that they're not really apparent, as you saw in Tora's graphs there. The numbers have gone right down because of the recommendations we made in how to control them. So a bit of background again, great leaf rust mite, they're tiny. You probably mostly all know about aerophytes. They spend the growing season on the leaves, of course, causing the damage. You can get large numbers, as Tora said, 3,000 per leaf. Those sort of numbers on grapes, wine grapes, will cause the bronzing, but apparently not on Concord grapes. So even though they're there and presumably feeding, they're not actually causing any visible damage. And again, you know, the major damage is caused to the spring growth of shoots and buds and fruit formation. So if that's not occurring, then they're not a problem. They overwinter on the bark of the vine. So that's sort of the typical bronzing. I formerly worked in Australia, where these things occur in much larger numbers, and the bronzing we saw there was much greater than here. And we've rarely seen bronzing beyond what you see here. In Australia, the bronzing would become black, the leaves would be black, and towards the end of the season, they'd actually drop off because the season was longer there as well. But populations were much greater there. Again, it's fairly subtle, the damage, and as I put there, the blackening of leaves could occur, but it hasn't occurred in Washington yet. So really, this damage is cosmetic. And you've seen this sort of picture again. This is the major economic damage they cause, the short shoots, or restricted spring growth, as it's called in Australia. And there's the Walla Walla Cabernet Sauvignon. Distorted cup leaves. Sometimes the damage can be confused, and that's one of the reasons why I think it may have been around longer than we think, because we had this sort of damage occasionally back in 1999 and early 2000s, but we thought was caused by thrips, which does cause similar damage, and also herbicide herbicide drift can cause this sort of damage too. So it may have been confused in the past. We may have had the mites around in significant numbers previously, but nobody recognized it. And production losses can be great, as I mentioned. But you know, you do need a lot of mites per shoot to cause this. And of course, in the spring, there's not much growth, not much plant material there for them to feed on. So you've got 2,000, 3,000 mites crowding on a shoot, then you're definitely going to get this sort of damage. Crinkled leaves. So that's the great leaf rust mite. We also have the bud mite too, which is closely related, Columeris vitis. But it has a different biology. It lives in the buds, as its name suggests. And again, we think it's occurred, it's been present in Washington for, you know, forever probably. Probably came in with the original grapes, but it has never been a significant problem, probably because of the sprays that have been put on. But now we're in combination with the grape leaf rust mite, we're getting occurrences of this causing the same sort of damage. So they're working in tandem, causing the same sort of symptoms. The bud mites will cause the same sort of damage, the zigzag growth, the short shoots, but they'll also damage and destroy buds as well. So we've been having some instances of bud death. Monitoring of these things is far less easy than grape leaf rust mites, of course, because they spend their lives, you know, 11 months of their lives in the bud. So you have to open up the bud to detect their presence, which is much more time consuming. So we know less about these, but they are present and they are part of the problem. So they migrate to the next. So the only time that they're outside of the bud is when they leave the old bud when it bursts in the spring and move to the next season's bud primordia. And that's the time when we can target them with sprays and control them. And then once they're in next season's buds, that's where they stay until the next season. So here's some data again, similar to what Tora showed on wine grapes and juice grapes. This is grape leaf rust mite, and you can see early on there was significant populations up here. You know, this was the season when we had the damage, but since then numbers have been fairly low every season. In juice grapes, the scale here is much less. The wine grapes is up to 800 per leaf. This is 250 per leaf or bud, and the numbers are much less. But you can see it's still significant. But you know, we're not, as Tora said and showed, the numbers always decline at the critical period of time when they can cause the damage, either through the influence of the predatory mites or natural overwintering mortality, perhaps. Whatever the story is, they don't cause the damage that we see in wine grapes at that time. But then they build up again. This is a number of the different lines represent different vineyards, so you can see the differences in between vineyards. But most of them, they're fairly low, and you get the occasional one where it's a little bit higher. But none of them have economic damage. And this is the bud mite. The scale again is much lower, 30 per bud. But one of the things we do not know is the number per bud that causes bud death. Something like 30 is approaching that, we think. But you know, buds can have 5 or 10 mites per bud and not show any apparent damage to the subsequent growth, or doesn't kill the buds. So we, at the moment, we have low to moderate numbers. And in grapes, even in juice grapes, even less. The scale only goes up to 8 there. And the predatory mites, we have increasing populations of phytosad mites in our both sorts of grapes, particularly the wine grapes, which have been exposed to much more pesticide in the past. Each year we see more and more phytosads. And we actually did surveys 5 or 6 years ago now, and if we did another survey now, we'd see far greater diversity of phytosads in greater numbers because of the lessening of inputs that is occurring. So they're contributing to the control of the rust mites and bud mites, and numbers are fairly good. The scale is not very big here, but you know, an average of 3 phytosads per leaf is reasonably good on grapes. And we're approaching, you know, 1 per leaf for most of the summer in most vineyards now, whereas before we were lucky to see any phytosad. And as I said, it's a diversity of phytosads. We're getting many different species turning up. And I won't dwell on this. Tora has shown the data for Zetzelia marli. So the low populations we're seeing now, why is this happening? There's a number of possible reasons. We haven't worked out exactly what is going on, but poor overwintering survival may be part of it. There does seem to be a natural decline during the winter. The effective application of our spring sulfur spray strategy, which I think I'll talk about more in a minute. Development of predatory mite populations in the last few years, and probably the combination of all three. So the sulfur sprays it's just a two sulfur sprays applied in early spring, which done at the right time gives very good control. It's a strategy that's been developed in Australia and gave good control there, and from the information we've had from the last 2 years, it seems to have done very well in Washington too. So it's they're applied at the start of the spring migration before feeding and egg laying occur. That's usually around woolly bud or bud swell stage on most varieties. It's just a good application of high volume sulfur at that time. And then a follow-up spray for the bud mites. So just two sprays, this is the follow-up spray, which is at bud burst when the bud mites are susceptible to 7 days afterwards. And so if you do those two sprays, you get good control. And we've been telling the growers, you know, they don't need to spray all the time, perhaps, but the bronze in the summer is a good indication that they should spray the following spring. It's been great, been very difficult to stop them spraying for the bronze in, but we're sort of getting over that hurdle now. I mean, they see the bronze in and get worried and want to spray then, but then they have to spray again in the spring anyway. So it's best just to wait till the spring. And aerophytes as friends. I mean, this is a message I've been trying to get through to the growers, and as is the situation in Australia, a presence of aerophytes, low to moderate numbers, is a good thing because it encourages predatory mites to be present. And in Washington, we have a problem with spider mites, or we formerly had a problem with spider mites. Now that we have a greater diversity of predatory mites, phytosaids, we have far less problems with spider mites. So having aerophytes there as alternative food source is one of the reasons the predatory mites are building up. And a lot of these predatory mites are generalist predators too, so they feed on a wide variety of things. That's Setzelia, and there's some of the other predators we're finding too, lady beetles, mite-eating lady beetles, stethorus, predatory bugs, predatory thrips. We've got a much healthier canopy now than we had before, grape canopy. We have a lot more predators there than we ever had before. So the rust mite story, while it was a little worrying for growers for a short period of time, now seems to be under control, and following on from other viticultural regions of the world where they occur, they're not really a significant problems if they're managed properly using the sulfur spray and depending upon biological control. Thank you.
We still have some time for your questions.
Yes. No. Our environment is very dry. It's wetter in the spring, and so it's possible that could happen then in some springs. But during the summer, you know, when we've got large populations on the leaves, it's very hot and dry, and that's one of the things that the mites like, the hot and dry conditions. So there'd be little chance of fungi being present at that time. Yes. Right. Yep. Yeah, that's been shown to improve the efficacy just by adding kind of oil to the sulfur. It improves the mortality that's achieved by about 10-20%. So we recommend growers to use that. Sorry?
Yeah. Is it because it's a spreading agent, or it's
don't really know. I think it's probably because it's a spreading thing. It allows greater contact, perhaps, but nobody's really looked at that. It's just something they found and we've adopted.